Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we are watching Power Rangers episode 274, Power Rangers in Space episode 24, entitled Zane's Destiny.
It aired October 16th, 1998, written by Judd Lynn, directed by Worth Keeter. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, then we come back and we talk about it, and you can follow along if you have Netflix or the DVDs. Nailed it. Got it in one.
Good job.
And you should, because it's in space has been pretty good. Especially the last episode. Man, last episode was so good.
Last episode was bananas.
Hopefully, Zane's Destiny will be just as good. Yeah. We're going to go watch it right now.
Let's rock it.
And we're back, and we just watched Zane's Destiny, and
wait till we get our Zanes on you.
Josh.
Hey.
You've already made that joke.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, I did it again.
We're not going to fall for it a second time. I have a question.
Yeah, okay.
What is Zane's Destiny?
We will find out in the last three minutes of this episode.
We won't.
But the title means nothing until the last 3 minutes of the episode.
I would say that it means nothing, including the last 3 minutes. But we'll get there. Morphingrid.tumblr.com is our website. So it's heyjakeandjosh.com is where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Morphingrid. We're on Facebook. I don't know why I keep saying that. It's just programmed deep into my wires. It's in my bones, guys, and I can't get rid of it. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, and Podknife, and you should leave us a rating and review. If you feel so inclined, we'd really appreciate it. It helps out a bunch.
I do just want to say real quick, people are still liking us on Facebook.
People do still like the Facebook.
It's not that we don't appreciate that. That's very great. Thank you for doing that.
Nothing is happening
there.
We're
sorry that it's dead over there, though.
Sorry about it. Finally, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. If you donate as little as $1 a month, you get some cool stuff in return, including Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes, and early access to our YouTube videos where we do Let's Plays. We haven't mentioned it on here in a while, but we do that. And you can go watch them on Patreon, or then, like, 2 weeks later at youtube.com/heyjakeandjosh.
We just took 10 months off, and that was explicitly so that we could have a buffer of
three episodes
for early access, because we were like, we need to get these on the Patreon somehow. And then I was like, well, let's have an almost
quick,
year break.
Quick, let's just take a quick 10-month break. Real quick, in and out.
That's
10 months.
A lie.
Yeah, no, it's just like a lot of factors.
Yeah.
So
mostly the capture card died, and they're expensive,
and
dude.
They are expensive. So. But we're back, a dinosaur story on that. So you can go check those out. We don't do emails and we don't do reviews or anything on Fridays, but I do want to talk about still tentatively titled Super Monster Battle Fight. We have not got a better name for it.
I did like Monster Madness.
That's super easy though.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's 100 different things already.
Probably.
So.
But it's like a March Madness.
Yeah, but like.
But with monsters.
But like, no.
Super Monster Battle Fight is better. So we'll just go with that for now.
Yeah, but we did get a couple of suggestions. So, also, in reference to last episode, her name should have been Ronnie. Astronomer's human name should have been Ronnie.
I'm going to keep calling her Melody until she gets an official name.
Well, that's just the actress.
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't like that.
Ronnie's just Veronica Mars. We're just different people.
No, Astronema.
I know.
It's there.
I know, but you texted me while you were watching Veronica Mars. So I just did some math in my head, and I was like, that's how we got it.
It actually was unrelated.
Was it?
I was sitting there going, astronaut, Ronnie. Just some sounding out, and I found it. Anyway, so we said that Kat was going to be eliminated. I don't know if we said that, but we did eliminate her or DQ her.
I don't know if that made it to air.
I don't know if it did, but in our first go round, we did get from Raymond a couple tweets that puts her, I think makes a good case to put her back in Catastrophe.
Yes. Not Cat Sexy Hillary. Lingerie yes. Cat Monster.
Why did they do that? Raymond says, not that I'm nominating her, but I'd argue that Monster Cat should count since she was only in that form while under the spell, versus Green Ranger, who had essentially the same form and powers while good as he did while evil. See also Brat Boy. Bulk is a protagonist-ish. Does that mean that Brat Boy is DQ'd? Doesn't make sense. So I'd say a DQ should only be if the monster goes on to fight other monsters on an ongoing basis with little to no change other than alignment. So I'd argue Waspicable should be eligible too.
Here's the thing.
Waspicable is not eligible because we're not doing it in space's time, but
the only thing that we wanted to DQ anyway was Tommy. We just didn't want to say we're DQing Tommy. We wanted to have a rule around it.
But I think we don't need to have a rule around it. We can just make a special case for him. Yeah, he's a special ranger.
Tommy's disqualified. Tommy's DQ'd. He would just win.
Yeah, because that's what he did. The only reason he lost is because, like, friendship. And
yeah.
And he lost his sword. And Jason is the better man. What? I said
it.
At me, nerds. Also, Adam could canonically beat them both. Deal with it.
Yep. Adam Clark, best ranger.
Well, let's not get crazy. Best fighter.
I'm not getting crazy.
Best fighter. Oh,
okay,
of the
okay, yes.
I have a different best ranger than you have, but Adam is in the top three or four.
Yeah, he's very good. If he had some lines, like, he would be great.
That's my big problem, is that they didn't write a character for Adam.
Yeah.
He had to basically just, like, do it.
Yep.
And he's still showing through, so good for you. But yeah, so Catastrophe is back on the list. We will add her. We haven't finished. We've only done the one session. We got 65 in, so we were over halfway.
Yeah.
So we'll add Catastrophe back in, and then we have one suggestion so far, but if you guys have any suggestions for who your favorite monsters are that you would like to see on the list, get them in.
Who's the suggestion?
The suggestion is Madame Woe.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Madame Woe rules.
Heck yeah. Madame Woe 1,000 times.
Yeah. That was from Ian, because it was the first episode that he ever saw was the Madame Woe.
See, that's why I love Pudgy Pig so much.
That's also one of the reasons I love Pudgy Pig so much. That's just like, that was Power Rangers to me. That's how I became a Power Rangers fan. Anyway, that's all there is for that. Do you want to jump into this episode?
Yes.
Do you really want to?
Yorkies?
I don't have a lot. You guys know my feelings on Yorkies. I'm also really jamming on Pomeranians right now. There's a way you can cut their hair. It's called the marshmallow cut.
Pomorkies.
They look like a marshmallow. I Googled some.
Did you?
They're adorable.
Did you see the post? This will be where we stop this, I promise.
Okay.
Did you see the post? It was on Twitter or somewhere, I think, that was like just crossbred corgis are just corgis as disguised as other breeds
of dogs.
Yes,
I did see that. I think Alan or Shannon put that in our group chat.
I think so.
I also saw it on Twitter. That's 100% Drew. The only asterisk is that sometimes their heads get very big.
Yes.
Corgis mixed with huskies are basically a corgi with a giant head. Colored like huskies. They are also adorable, and they got those cute, cute donks. All corgis got such donks. Anyway.
That's been Dogcast.
Welcome to Dog Corner. We start off with two people walking in the desert. We'll find out in a minute these two people are Zane and Andros, but there is no indication that that's who they are yet. We did get an establishing shot of the Astro Megaship flying by a red planet, but like, there wasn't enough connective tissue to be like, these are the Rangers.
Yeah.
And they didn't, and their voices were muffled because of like the wind whipping around, and they are dressed like sand brigands.
The Tusken Raiders, right? Is that who they were?
Yeah.
In Star Wars?
Sure.
Like,
the Tuscany Raiders.
I'm pretty sure.
Coming for your pizzas.
I think Anakin killed all of them.
Well, they missed too.
They got his mom? I don't know.
I don't know.
Star Wars is weird.
I don't like a Star Wars that much.
They're not Jawas. There's a different one.
I know a Jawa.
I'm pretty sure it's Tuscan Raider.
Is a Tuscany Raider.
Yeah. The Oakland Tuscan Raiders.
See, I was going Tuscany, which is a place, but also the name of a pizza place that I used to live next door to that was amazing. They had great burgers. I know. It's a pizza place. Their burgers were top-notch. Anyway, they are looking for an energy source. There are two, apparently. They're looking for one. There's a second one. So we cut up.
I must have missed the part where they said there was two.
It was like one line.
Andros and Zane are, they're like walking. It's very sandstormy. And Andros says, he asks, like, are you picking up anything on your scanner? There is dead silence. And then he's like, I'm going to check over here or something. He just like moves on. Like, he asked and got no response.
Maybe Zane didn't hear him because of all the sand. He's got sand in his ears. Can't hear him that way. They contact the ship where TJ tells them that Alpha can't track them down there.
While he's looking at him on the screen.
They are looking at him and they are talking together. So,
come on.
So TJ, somebody hands out some paintball masks and they go down. They're
Alpha
all
did that.
Alpha did that, right? And they go
he,
down.
He gave everyone a Star-Lord mask.
Yeah, you're a Star-Lord and you're a Star-Lord. Everybody's a Star-Lord. By the way, I saw Guardians Galaxy number 2. It was good. I know it's not the official title. It's volume 2. Whatever. It was really good. My favorite part is that Yondu is the most important person in the movie, which is crazy.
That's the blue guy with the whistle? Well, he's got like a chain or something that he whistles.
It's an arrow.
It's an arrow.
Yeah. He rules. Anyway, Cassie and, or Ashley and Carlos, like, hop up on a rock. They're down there like, oh, second energy source, blah, blah, blah. They go, like, hop up on a rock, and then Cassie's like, whoa, TJ, do you see that? And they go over.
Back up just a second, because I do want to bring attention to this. Zane and Andros went down to track an energy source, just the two of them. There's a second energy source.
They can make it if they try.
There's a second energy source. And so the remaining four go down after saying, we can't track you down there. Now all the Rangers are untrackable.
Untrackable. Can't be tracked. It's a bad plan. Nobody stayed behind?
Not only Alpha.
Well, who can't track him?
Who can't track him?
So we've got six untrackable Rangers.
But he can pilot the Megazord if needed.
Yes. Not well, but he can do it. So Cassie sees something on a rock, and she's like, TJ, whoa, look at this. And there's coral there. And she says, coral? There's no oceans around. We're in a on a desert planet. And then they get arrested.
Yep.
So this man with a very fake mustache, we don't see the fake mustache yet. No, maybe we do. He just has the goggles on, right?
Yeah, because he only has goggles. The rest of his face is exposed.
Yeah. And he's like, you're coming with me. You're going to jail, misters. And they take two steps, and Carlos and Ashley have also been caught. Mm-hmm. So then we go to the theme song, and we come back. Andros and Zane are hiding behind a rock, and they're like, oh, there's the energy source is a false reading. TJ, come in. They can't get a hold of TJ, because TJ's in jail.
He's untrackable.
He's untrackable. The others are thrown into jail, into a makeshift prison, and they look through the bars, and they see, like, an infirmary. And they're like, what's going on here? There's like an infirmary. And people are growing coral parts.
Sort of. Coral. Some of them are
slash
coral.
Crustacean.
Some of them are just crustacean.
Yeah, someone definitely gets like a crab arm.
Yep. Multiple people have a crab arm.
Well, they had the one crab arm prop, and they're like, just slip your arm in this. All right, now that he's off screen, you put your arm in it. Everyone get their arm sweat in this coral arm.
Pass it around.
Then we cut to a dark room where somebody who is the captain that arrested them, whose name I did not catch. Sorry about it. I didn't really catch anybody's names properly, but I do have fake names for two other people. This guy is just the captain, because I didn't even hear like sounds associated with him. He's talking to Dark Spectre, you know, the big bad.
Yep.
And he's like, we got four of the Rangers, and Dark Spectre's like, well, Astronomer's just gonna have to kill the other two. That's fine. Except he does have that donkey lips lisp, and it ruins his credibility. I can't take Dark Spectre seriously, because it's like donkey lips doing a Goldar impression.
Oh, man. Donkey lips in space.
In space. If you have, look, if you have a lisp, I don't want to make fun of you. I feel like I might have been mean. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying if you are a giant lava monster, you can afford some speech therapy.
Yeah, if you are a giant lava monster, you are like the baddest force in the universe, you can't sound like a guy named Donkey Lips.
You can't sound like Donkey Lips is the problem. Maybe the actor should pick a different voice. that is also menacing, but not, because it's not like he has to wear the suit and talk at the same time, you know? Like, he's just in a sound booth.
Donking it
what
up.
What if it is Donkey Lips, though?
Well, then good for Donkey Lips.
As far as I know, he's been in three things.
Salute Your Shorts.
Salute Your Shorts. That one episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Fighters from Beverly Hills.
Oh, God, he was in that.
Yeah, he was in the, he was the one who was allergic to everything.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, patreon.com says AJ and Josh. And then he was in something else, probably like a Sweet Valley High or another teen show from the early 90s.
Here's an idea for a show. Okay. You call it something else, and you only get actors who have only done one thing to be in it. So they've done that thing and something else.
That's worth it. We can do that. We can do that for nothing. I mean, here's the thing though. Catherine Sutherland has been in two things.
Yeah.
Power Rangers and Sweet Valley High. So she couldn't be on something else. Which is a bummer.
That's the beauty of it. Anyone can be in something else.
That's true. It's not just that.
Right.
It's just, you want to give people that other chance. We cut to the Dark Fortress, and Dark Spectre is telling Astronema that the Red and the Silver Ranger are still at large, and she needs to go find him and kill him. And she goes, Silver Ranger? Because she's still smitten.
Yeah.
She still likes him. Ooh. She wants to kiss him. So then she takes a second. She resolves to destroy them, but then she walks away to go pine over his publicity shot. So
she goes into her room. You might have been writing down a note, because as she enters, there is just a freaking Power Rangers playset on her nightstand.
I saw it out of focus behind the picture, slid under her calendar. Or maybe it was under the playset.
The picture was under the playset.
Yeah,
she keeps Zane's publicity shot under a Power Rangers playset in her bedroom. Starting to think maybe Astronema has some issues.
Look, I think she's just got a little thing for Zane.
But that doesn't explain the whole playset.
The playset.
Unless that's like
it's a strategy.
A strategy.
Yeah, she's planning out her attacks via the official Power Rangers in space playset.
She only has Power Ranger action figures.
She's got a whole box full of monsters right next to her. You didn't see it. And she only has one at a time. Look, we all have had a box full of wrestling action figures.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what I mean. It's just like, oh, there's a box of toys off to the side.
One of the best matches I ever had was the British Bulldog versus Casey Jones.
No crossovers banned. Though, Casey Jones would be a hell of a hardcore champion.
Oh, he'd be unstoppable in a hardcore division.
Well, he might be stoppable, but there's only one man that could do it.
Raphael.
Lethal Weapon Steve Blackman.
I should have known.
You should have known.
Steve Blackman's my boy.
That's your other guy. We cut down to the Red Planet. It's called, Centaur B or something like that.
Did they name it?
One of the guys did.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right, because it's in jail.
Yeah.
All right, I remember that now.
So Zane and Andros are around looking for the second energy source, because that's where the other Rangers went, so maybe they would be there. Clippy and some Quantrons fight them. And 15 minutes later, Zane and Andros get away. It was a long fight. Not a lot was accomplished.
That's kind of this whole episode, is a couple long fights.
It was long and nothing was accomplished, yeah. So then we cut to inside the base, I guess
colony?
We can call it. The colony.
And I think Cassie, when she looks out the window and sees the infirmary and stuff, I think she says it's an underground colony.
Maybe. It's better than anything I had, which is just like this planet with these people on it. So
in it.
In it, right. They are underground. So Captain comes out with the Rangers, and they have jumpsuit versions of their uniform, which looks really cool. They're all wearing just they have their shirt with their color underneath it, but then it's just the jacket, if the jacket was a whole jumpsuit. I think
yeah.
It looks good.
Yeah, it's a good field work outfit.
Yeah. Captain's like, here are some spies that are turning everyone into coral. What do you think, quinoa? I don't know what he said.
I think it was quinoan.
I kept hearing quinoa.
They're very similar, and he definitely said quinoa at some point.
And I was like, that's just that fat sand rice.
Yeah.
And that's him? That's his name? It's quinoa?
Quinoa.
Okay.
It's So, weird subliminal advertising.
Is everybody hungry for some quinoa right now?
No, because I've never had it.
I haven't either. It just looks like sand. It looks like fat sand. So I don't want to eat it. Cam's like, they've been doing the coral. They're the bad guys. They're spies. And Quinoa's like, well, hold on. How do we know that? They seem nice. And Ashley, or I think Tia's like, we're Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, we're searching for someone. We're Power Rangers.
There's the weird, like, they all look at each other. And then I guess TJ just makes the executive decision of we have to.
Well, he's a second in command, so. Yeah. And, yeah, and they're like, Power Rangers, oh. And then the captain bumps into Ashley, like, not hiding anything, just, like, bumps into her and has this vial. And he's like, what would a Power Ranger need with this? And he throws it against the wall.
Ashley's like, that isn't mine.
That's not mine. He planted that on me. That's, like, this is a trap.
Which, like, he didn't even plant it on you. He took it out of his pocket.
Yeah, and just bumped it and made it look like he took it from you.
And this is, I think when he's holding it up is when we get the, like, real close-up of his face, and you can see, like, the glue on his mustache.
That mustache is fake. It's super-duper not real.
Why fake the mustache?
Because evil people with authority have mustaches, I guess.
Have I told you about the book Mustache Baby?
You briefly told me about the book Mustache Baby. Josh, what's Mustache Baby about?
Okay, so a baby is born
with a mustache.
His parents notice something weird. He has a mustache.
I would notice
that. I've read this book. It's like a cardboard, like, 6-page
yeah,
book.
Yeah.
So I read it at work the other day.
Yeah.
And so the nurse is like, gotta keep your eye on that. If, you know, see if it is a good guy mustache or a bad guy mustache. And so he goes through a bunch of different mustaches. One of them is like a Spanish painter mustache, a
yeah.
ringleader mustache, a law enforcement mustache. And then as he gets older, it starts to curl at the ends.
Oh, it's an evil mustache.
And it becomes a bad boy or bad guy mustache.
Okay.
So now he's like he's like stealing cereal from his brother, and he like empties a piggy bank into a sock. And so his mom puts him in jail, which is the crib.
Yeah.
And then he gets better. Something else happened.
They shave his mustache.
But basically, he does his time, and he comes out with a good guy mustache. And then the last page of this book, there's a knock at the door.
And baby with a beard.
The mom opens it, and there's a beard baby out there.
Guys, I say this as someone with a beard. Someone who will never shave again. Be clean shaven ever again. We gotta get rid of this beard culture garbage. It's very stupid. It's very, very stupid. Someone called me a beard enthusiast the other day at work, and I was like, no.
No, you just
I just have
a beard.
What are you talking about? This dude was also clean shaven.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if he was just super into my beard or what. What is even a beard enthusiast? Someone who has like a scrapbook full of beards?
You go home and you just like look at beard
you just
hacks, like
Google
beard tips.
Beards all night?
Beard fashions.
No. Some people look good with beards, some people don't. It doesn't need to be a thing. Like, you wouldn't be like, oh, t-shirt enthusiast. Oh, hair enthusiast because you got hair on your head. No, idiot. It's just a thing.
I'm sure there are beard enthusiasts, people who are super into beards. Like, I get that. They spend, like, an hour every morning trimming extra stray hair.
Like,
they're subscribed to at least 3 minimum beard subscription boxes.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I get, like...
But not... It's take beards off the pedestal.
Yeah. Hey, guys. It's just hair that grows out of your face, though. That's it.
So you're sitting over there, Jake, you leg hair enthusiast.
Yeah, right? No, I just have hairy legs. Like, I just don't want to look like a child, so I have a beard. That's all. That's it.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you can tell, but not
this
a lot happens in this episode.
Not very dense. So anyway... He plants a coral serum. He throws it at the wall, and like it turns into a little coral, and then that blooms into a different coral. And so he's like, "I sentence you to be destroyed." And Quinoa's like, "Hold up a minute, no, there are laws. This wasn't a trial. This is oddly pertinent to today's political landscape,
yes.
I would think." So he's like, "If anything happens to them, I'm going to hold you personally responsible, me, Quinoa. I guess the leader." I guess the boss.
The president of...
President...
Baldur's 9?
Underground president.
What was it? Centaur 9?
Centaur 9.
Centaur B?
Centaur B. You said 9, and I was Centaur like, yeah, sure. Bib. Then we cut to the captain talking to Dark Spectre again, and Quinoa discovers this, and he's like, oh, so they weren't the spies, it's you. And he's like, yes, Quinoa, and this will be your fatal mistake. And then a monster grabs him, a monster that has just been hanging out.
I guess, what, did one of the people turn into this monster?
I don't think so.
No, because spoilers, the Power Rangers kill it.
Yeah.
And there's never any, like, that's a guy. So
yeah, they were like, no, it's been a person. Charles. No, it's just like, it's, oh no, it's Carl, the coral monster.
Space Greg. No.
Space Greg, oh. You killed Space Greg. He was just doing his best. The Rangers break out. They unscrew a bar, I guess. We don't see what happens because it cuts away and then...
I looked down for 1 second and I looked up and TJ was like, a guard's coming. And they ran down a hallway. And I was like, is this cell lead out into hallway?
So there were bars. And then there's like the door, which is also bars. And just TJ was like spinning it for a minute. And then it cuts to Ashley being like, I think someone's coming. And then it cuts back to TJ and the bar is gone because he got it out. And then they run down a hallway.
Good job.
Way to go, TJ. All I could think of was a scene in Wreck-It Ralph where Fix-It Felix is stuck in there. He's like, I'm going to wreck it. And he makes it better.
Reinforces the bars.
Because he fixes everything he touches. They run down the hall. The guard's like, the prisoner's escaped. Get him. And they give chase. And then they get to like a dead end and this arm reaches around. They're like, ugh. And I think we go to commercial and we come back and it's Quinoa. And he's like, and like sits down because he is also like, it makes you brain dead,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, you have a lobster arm now, so you can't talk.
You can't talk or reason or anything.
Because the captain is there and he's like, I'm gonna.
Look what you did to Quinoa.
I can't believe you did this to Quinoa.
We cut to like the main chamber and all of the people are there. And like this looks like, you pointed out, it looks like it's like a scene from a Stargate episode.
Absolutely. Like 1,000%.
Yeah. Like it's just like a bunch of people in a mysterious place in robes hanging out.
Yep.
Judging.
The set is tan.
Yeah. What a thrilling endorsement for Stargate SG-1. Sets tan. They're all
of them. Well, look, when they're in the Stargate headquarters that I can't remember what it's called right now.
Stargate.
It's like
Stargatorium.
That's like gray in there.
Oh. Woo.
But like whenever they're in like a Goa'uld plate that's like a pyramid, so it's like sandy. And yeah. So it's all like tan. There's a lot of tan in Stargate.
I have not seen Stargate SG-1.
It's fun. It's very long. Like there's a lot of it, and I don't know if it needs to be as long as it is.
There's 10 seasons of it.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
There's some real good stuff in there though.
Yeah. Well, good. I'll never watch. I don't have the time to watch it. I'll never get there. They are about to be sentenced to be destroyed, and Zane and Andro show up with guns.
Yep.
And I think
they're still fully cloaked and have the masks on, and they're like, they're not spies. They are Power Rangers, and we are too.
We are Power Rangers. And then the captain's like, you're also spies. And they're like, no, we just are Power Rangers.
And then they take their masks off, and King Kong recognizes them as Andros and Zane.
Yeah, well, the girl who was Quinoa's second in command, maybe?
Maybe.
She
has one line in this episode.
No, she has a couple. She's got two or three.
How much proof do you need, King Kong?
What are you talking about? Did they call him King Kong?
No, that's just what I'm saying, because I don't want to say the same. I don't want to say Quinoa, too.
Oh. Oh, King, I get it.
It's a different fake name for him.
See, this threw me all off. Because in my head, he just became Quinoa. Her name is Tequila, as far as I can tell.
So we got King Kong and Taquitos.
A.K.A. Quinoa and Tequila. She's like, Andros? We're the lost colony of KO-35.
Yeah, it's weird that they see Zane and they're not like, we thought you died in battle.
Nobody is surprised. Because like he died and Andros carried his corpse into a chamber, presumably to mourn, even though he's putting him in cryostasis. Like,
right.
Nobody would see that part. Unless everyone, he was like, I don't think he's dead. I'm going to put him in the fridge. No, see if he gets better.
I'm going to freeze him.
I'm going to deep freeze him.
Put him in a Ziploc bag.
Hope he doesn't get freezer burn. It'll ruin your pork chops. Long story short, because I don't know what happens for the next couple of minutes, is the captain's evil. Like, we know, we saw him talking to Dark Spectre. Yeah, we saw, you know.
He's, because he commands his army to destroy them, and they won't, because they are also from KO-35.
It's all KO-35.
Yeah, so they're like, no. Yeah. He's like, I'll do it myself. And Andros and Zane get, like, in his face.
Like, you in one army. He's like, not a army, but a monster. And then the monster the shows up.
The Corbuzzer just, like, peeks around the corner. He's like, hey,
I was over here. I was in the hallway.
He just starts, like, swinging his lobster arm at
he
people.
He sprays three dudes and gives them two different crab, crustacean, coral arms, and a coral leg.
Is this, like, the Dark World in that it reflects what kind of crustacean or coral is in your heart?
Maybe it does.
And that's why it's different for everybody.
Maybe it's just genetics.
Oh, maybe. Genetically, you have a lobster
What kind
arm.
Of coral or crustacean would you be?
Crawfish.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't want to just say lobster. It seemed too easy.
I would be a lobster. I love a lobster. Captain runs away while they're fighting this monster.
Zane sees it. Okay, Zane is doing some face acting.
Yes.
He's not good at
he's
that either.
He's doing his best.
Because he'll like just have like a regular, like, I'm in a fight, I need to look around, like, yeah, trying to pay attention face. And then he'll see something and he'll get like focused and mad. And yeah, the transition is just so like, oh.
It's like new emotion.
Yeah. So he does that when he sees the captain. He's like, oh, he's running away. So he chases after him.
Tequila takes all their morphers, which were on, they were confiscated, I guess. I don't think we ever saw it. I think it was implied, but we never saw it. And
the
then,
because I asked, why don't they just morph? And you said maybe they took their morphers, and that makes sense. However, Andros and Zane did not have their morphers taken and could have morphed.
Yeah, well, nobody else was, so they didn't want to look like idiots.
Solidarity.
Yeah.
I get it.
So Tequila throws their morphers back. They morph. They fight the crustacean coral monster outside. And Anders kicks him off a cliff, which is pretty neat. Then we cut to, oh, sorry, we don't cut just yet, because he just goes, your problem's going to get bigger and gross.
Yep.
He gets,
with a saddle laser?
He gets saddle lasered, but normally we get Astronema saying,
right,
do a saddle laser.
We do know Astronema is in the area because Ecliptor, what happened to Ecliptor?
He went back.
We never saw, did we ever see the end of that fight?
No, oh, because they ran away, and he's like, we'll get you, and they didn't get him.
Okay.
That was, yeah. Okay. And then he's like, we can't find him, let's go back.
If we can go back to them fighting the Quantrons for just a second, there was a super cool team move where Andros, like, kicked a few guys, and he, like, duck-kicked someone as Zane jump-kicked
like
over him.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
It was pretty awesome. Then they did this thing where he, like, got hit in the guts, one of them did, and then the other one rolled over his back. Like they do sometimes.
Yeah.
But then they just did like this like high five, but like chop block each other. They're like, block, block. We're the best. We're number one.
And like one Quantron fell down. He had one of those big baklava blades or whatever.
Yeah.
He fell down and was lavas. Like, I am defeated. And like, because he just rolled around like a turtle on his
back.
He
like waved it at them like, you better not. And then but he didn't do anything. He just laid there. So coral grows, they call the Astro Megazord, and it's all in unison, and I know they always do that, but this something seemed weird this time, and I don't know if it was just me.
I think what was weird about this is they call the Zord, and I'm pretty sure that's when we cut away from them.
Yeah.
And then when we cut back, there's already a Megazord, so we didn't get the like theme song transformation.
Well, the Megazord,
sequence.
I remember seeing it get put together, but I did not hear the song.
We don't get the song until
Later. Yeah, it's really weird.
It did feel a little bit off.
So Zane is chasing the captain, and he catches up to him, and we cut back to the Power Rangers, who are now in their Zord. And I feel like we did see the very tail end of it getting put together, but I can't recall. And now,
I think you're right, because I do remember something happening in space.
And I just remember the arms coming over, connecting to the chest. That's all I can remember.
Maybe.
But now that they're big, there's no dust on the planet.
And there's, I think, some grassy areas.
Yeah, I feel like maybe all the dust is very low to the ground.
It's very weird that they are, like, so into footage matching to the point, in at least season one, where they were like, there's a red car in the Sentai footage. We need to get a red car on this street. We need a red
car there. There's one pink hat shown. We need to get a grandma in a pink hat.
That was this season.
That was this season. This man with his daughter are in this elevator. That's Cassie and her date. Now, what? Power Rangers?
But now they're like, this episode's on a dusty desert planet, but when they grow big, it's just on a regular landscape.
It's just a hill. That's all. So they fight. We cut back to... they call Delta Megazord, and Delta just like shoots it. Doesn't like do anything just yet. Then we cut back to Zane, who's like, all right, Captain, I'm going to beat you up now. And I'm like, this is an old man. You can fight him. And Captain has some moves.
Old man's got kicks.
Captain's like a WMAC master up in here.
Oh, no. Now I'm thinking about WMAC masters again.
Well, you can blame Alberto for that because he just tweeted us and I saw it just say WMAC master. Now that's all I can think about. they fight and he gets his Silver Samurai out and like slices him, even though he's just a person as far as he knows. This is like a super weapon. But then the captain reveals who he really is, and it's Dark Honda, which I did not see coming.
Yeah, as soon as he transformed, this might have been out loud. I was like, Alpha? Oh,
yeah, like, it's Dark Honda. Which brings up one question. Where's the real captain? Did Dark Honda kill him? Or, because they are the KO-35 that just
Why
left.
Why did Dark Honda transform into a man and then put on a fake little mustache?
He transformed into a man. It was like, something's missing. And he can't...
I don't look evil enough.
He can't manifest facial hair, I guess. But, like, does that mean that he killed the captain and took his place? Or did he just show up like, I'm the captain now? And everyone's like, you seem good. And he's like, there's a spy making people quarrel. And no one's like, it's probably you, the new guy who we didn't leave KO-35 with, or clonked Captain over the noggin and put him in the closet tied up.
Yeah, Captain's tied up in his boxers in a wife beater closet somewhere with those socks that have like suspenders on them.
Yeah, the garters, the sock garters, because that's a thing that happened at some point. Then we cut back to the Megazord fight. They make the Alpha Delta Megazord and they kill him immediately. They take him down with the
flying fist punch.
Flying punch punch.
Rocket punch?
It's FPP is my note. Flying power punch.
There it is.
And then the people uncoral. They decoralize and they hop right up and they're like, woo, I'm a person again. And then Dark Honda disarms Zane, knocks the Silver Samurizer out, but wouldn't you know it, Quinoa's there, picks it up, throws it back to Zane, who doesn't get to use it because Dark Honda pulls a Goldar Classic and is like, well, all right, I'm out.
You have your weapon. I have to go.
All right, I'll see you later. Then we cut to a little bit later. And
there was a point when the captain was still a man.
Yes.
And I did not know the twist.
Right.
And I was like, Zane is one of the most powerful rangers in the universe.
And this
old man is taking him
toe-to-toe with him. Yeah. So we cut to a little bit later and the KO-35ins are like, well, now that Dark Spectre knows where we are, we have to go. Because I guess he hates those KO-35. Like,
why does he... Why? I mean, it's probably because two of these people are Power Rangers. And he's like, I should take them all out in case.
Yeah.
I can understand why he would attack KO-35 if there were resources there that he was after. There's literally nothing on this planet but sand.
Yeah, it's bad. This place sucks.
So this just implies that he is just bullying these people.
Yeah, he just really doesn't like KO-35. So then they're like, can we help? And he's like, there's a lot of boxes we have to pack. So like everybody grab some. And we cut to the Dark Fortress where Dark Spectre is there saying, number one, kill Dark Honda. And Clippy's like, dibs. I will kill that man so much. And then he's like, all right, Astronema, you're going to have to kill the Rangers then. And she's like, oh, do that.
I have a question.
Okay.
Does he want them to kill Dark Honda because this failed? Because he must have known that was Dark Honda.
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess if anybody else, if Astronomer can fail 100 times, it's fine, whatever. Darkonda fails him once, he's out. He's burnt. It doesn't make a ton of sense, but I like Clippy.
Yeah.
And I don't like Darkonda in the way I'm not supposed to like Darkonda, because he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And very evil. And so I do want Clippy to kill him. So.
Yep.
Then we cut to Cassie hugging Zane goodbye because he's staying, I guess.
Yeah, you remember all the buildup we got to this? Zane's inner struggle of should I stay or should I go now?
Yeah, and I guess it's, no, I gotta stay with them because they're my people. I gotta help them.
It's my destiny.
This is his destiny?
Is to help his people move?
Well, yeah, to like, his destiny is to get a beer and pizza at the end of this? Like, what? Why is this episode called Zane's Destiny? This has nothing to do with anything.
It was not even Zane heavy.
No.
It was a pretty good episode as far as balancing the Rangers with Zane.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Zane has to go.
Which is crazy pants, but also, how is this a destiny? You're going to hide with someone.
It's my destiny to run away
to
and
dip
hide.
Out. See you later, nerds.
I think they play it as like they need someone to stay and protect them or whatever.
Now that their captain is...
Because the captain was the only one that could fight.
Yeah. But isn't there a captain somewhere? Or did this... Because Darkonda could not have been there the whole time because that was at least 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And Darkonda's been doing stuff since that we've seen.
Look, I don't have an answer for you.
This episode falls apart.
Yeah.
Real quick. They all say goodbye. Ashley kisses him on the cheek, and she's like, however, will you survive without us? He's like, I will. Thanks, Zane.
Yeah, he's basically, guys, chumps, I'll be
like,
fine.
I'm a Silver Ranger, so probably that way. And then Andres is like, all right, goodbye. We're best friends. See you later. We're best friends. And then we cut back to them on the Astro Mega ship, and they're all doing like a...
There is a quick, like... Maybe we'll see you again. And he's like, oh, maybe sooner than
you never
think.
Know where I'll pop up. Yeah. And I swear to God, if he's in the next episode, I'm flipping a table. So on the Astro Mega ship, they're doing like a startup sequence. They're like, this is online. Thrusters go. All these things. Which I really like that they are a spaceship crew. I think that's pretty cool. And they're like, all right, ready for takeoff? And it hesitates on Andros as if he's going to be like, no, the rest of this show is us hanging out with the KO-35 people.
It hesitates on Andros, who it does show is like looking on the screen and it's showing the planet. And what I thought was going to happen is that he was like waiting to see them leave.
Yeah.
But that's not it.
No, he doesn't care.
He's just like, my best friend who was dead for 2 years was back for a week and now he's gone again.
He's back for 6 days and now he's gone. All right, let's leave. Let's get out of here. And then they hyper speed off.
It takes Deka to like snap him out
of
it.
Yeah, Deka's like, hey, buddy, you want to do something? Everyone's like, do we say anything? He's just kind of like staring at this. What do we do? And Deka's like,
take off.
Yeah, let's go, I guess. And they go and it freezes on like the warp speed. Like
the stars like elongating.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the episode. So, Josh, you started.
Oh, thank goodness.
I get to pick the first best. I'm going to say the best is Clippy being very excited to kill Darkonda.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part.
I love Ecliptor so much. And I like the relationship he has with Darkonda in that, like, man, he just hates him
just
so
hates
much.
He hates his guts.
I love this season is doing some real good different things. There's bad guys that like hate each other.
Yeah.
So there's like infighting with them. There is a love interest between the Sixth Ranger and
the bad guy. Yeah.
Which is good.
I'm very excited. I also really liked her still having kind of a crush on him.
Oh yeah. But also being like, destroy him. He was late.
Yeah, like he almost stood me up. Kill him.
Yeah, he looks cute holding burned roses with mud on his face.
Whatever.
But he was like an hour late for a date, he's
got
to go.
I had to wait on... I got bug bites. That is unforgivable. The worst is Zane's destiny.
I think that is the worst, where the last 3 minutes are like, crap, this is a Zane episode.
Yeah.
We forgot.
We wrote down a title before we wrote an episode, and we forgot that we had a title, and we can't change it, apparently. So his destiny is to go hide.
Yep.
What a strong ranger. And the MVP is TJ for
being
stepping up when Andrew's not around.
He put that red back on when Andrew's was gone.
Yeah, man. I kind of love that.
I do too.
I kind of love that he can just be the leader when he needs to be.
TJ's really grown on me since the end of Turbo.
Yeah,
like, before that, he was fine. But like that, those last few episodes were just like, God, TJ gets it so much.
Those last two episodes of Turbo and on, it's just like, oh yeah. Oh, you're the Red Ranger. Oh man, you're super duper the Red Ranger.
I wish he felt like the Red Ranger the whole time.
That would have been real cool. But alas. So that's going to do it for us for today. Real quick, during the recording of this, Alberto did tweet us saying, I was thinking of names for this tourney, and I got Monster Combat with a K and WMAC Monsters.
Oh, that's good. What does WMAC stand for?
World Martial Arts Championships, I think.
What can we make that stand for?
World Monster Art Championships. Or
I have mastered the monster arts.
Who is the best monster artist?
Finster.
Well, he's a henchman. I like WMAC Monsters a lot. We'll have to figure out what WMAC stands for in this context.
Yeah.
The world metric for awesome,
combat.
Cool combat monsters. That's not it. We'll keep trying. So far, that is up there for me with Super
like
Monster Battle Fight. So if you have any suggestions, or if you have any suggestions to what WMAC should mean, I know some of you are Ross specifically. I'm looking at you, buddy. I just got a feeling that you can put this together for us. So that's it. That's gonna do it for us for today. On Monday, it's an episode called Always a Chance.
Yep.
And I'm not gonna say anything else about it.
No.
But
if you're watching on Netflix, you read the synopsis.
You read it. Yeah. It's gonna be a pretty good time. So we'll see you on Monday. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Lance Rocket.
Lance Rocket. Lance Rocket.
Lance Rocket. Space hero.